Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter, Susan Shand, Phil Dierking, and Alice Bryant. Later, Brian Lynn will have this week's technology report. But first, police have confirmed that the Uzbek immigrant accused of killing 8 and injuring 12 in New York City carried out the attack in the name of the Islamic State terror group. He did this in the name of ISIS, New York Deputy Police Commissioner John Miller said Wednesday. Miller added that the suspect had been planning this for a number of weeks. The attacker is identified as 29-year-old Saifulu Saipov, an immigrant from Uzbekistan. He came to the United States in 2010 through the Diversity Immigrant Visa Program, also known as the Lottery Diversity Immigration Program. Officials say Saipov drove a pickup truck down a bicycle path in New York City on Tuesday. 8 people died and 12 others were injured. He then ran down a highway, holding fake guns and shouting, "God is great," in Arabic. Police then shot the man. He remains hospitalized in critical condition. Miller said that police found notes written in Arabic in Saipov's truck that said the Islamic State would endure forever. Speaking from the White House on Wednesday, President Donald Trump called the attacker an animal. He asked Congress to end the lottery program immediately and replace it with a merit-based immigration program. The Diversity Visa Program provides up to 50,000 visas each year by lottery. Applicants must have completed high school or meet work experience requirements. The program was created as part of a bipartisan immigration bill introduced by the late Senator Ted Kennedy, a Democrat. It was signed into law by President George H.W. Bush, a Republican, in 1990. Earlier on Wednesday, the president called the Diversity Lottery Program a Chuck Schumer beauty. Schumer is a New York senator and the Democratic leader of the U.S. Senate. Trump also noted what an expert said on Fox News Wednesday, tweeting, "Senator Chuck Schumer helping to import Europe's problems." Shortly after Trump published his tweets, Senator Schumer replied with his own, "I guess it's not too soon to politicize a tragedy." Schumer said in a statement that he has always believed and continue to believe that immigration is good for America. He added, "I'm calling on the president to immediately rescind his proposed cuts to this vital anti-terrorism funding." Trump said on Tuesday that he ordered the Department of Homeland Security to step up our already extreme vetting program. Trump's extreme vetting policy on immigrants aims to identify those who may sympathize with extremists or pose a security risk to the United States.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in says his country will not develop nuclear arms or own nuclear weapons. The president made the statement in a speech Wednesday to South Korea's National Assembly. Moon added that both South Korea and North Korea should observe a joint declaration from 1992. In that statement, both countries said the Korean Peninsula should be free of nuclear weapons. Observers noted that Moon's position on such weapons remains unchanged. The president's statement comes as opposition lawmakers have called for a redeployment of American tactical nuclear weapons in the South. They want to defend against the threat of North Korean efforts to develop nuclear weapons. Some South Korean lawmakers say their country should have its own nuclear weapons. On September 3rd, North Korea tested its sixth and most powerful nuclear device yet. North Korea's nuclear and long-distance missile tests have led to strong language from United States President Donald Trump. He has threatened to launch military action against the North if it continues testing barred by the United Nations Security Council. However, in his speech on Wednesday, Moon stated that no military action will be taken on the Korean Peninsula without the permission of South Korea. He also said that his country would control its own future. South Korea will be the second country that Trump visits on his trip to Asia later this month. North Korea's nuclear and long-range missile development is expected to be one of many issues to be discussed. After his visit to South Korea, Trump will then travel to Beijing for talks with Chinese officials. As preparations for the visit continue, members of his cabinet have visited Asia and discussed the situation in Korea. Last month, U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said, "Our goal is not war, but rather the complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula." The Reuters news agency reports that the United States is carrying out direct, secret negotiations with North Korea. The report was published on Wednesday. The story said that an unidentified State Department official told Reuters that the U.S. special diplomat for North Korea has been speaking with North Korea's UN mission. The U.S. does not have diplomatic relations with North Korea. But Special Diplomat Joseph Yun, the report says, has been in contact with the North through what is known as the New York Channel. That term suggests North Korea's diplomatic contacts with the UN. The unidentified official said the discussion has not been limited at all, both in frequency and substance. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said last month that the United States is extending diplomatic efforts toward North Korea. President Trump, however, has voiced anger over nuclear and long-range missile tests carried out by the North. I'm Mario Ritter.
Brazil is famous for its beaches, bikinis, and parties. But an increasing conservative movement is challenging the idea of Brazil as a country that has relaxed ideas about everything. Recently, conservatives have strongly criticized several modern art shows and a play in which Jesus is presented as a man dressed as a woman. The latest cultural clashes could help shape next year's election. Conservative groups have protested against two art exhibits, one at Sao Paulo's Museum of Modern Art is called La Bête. Visitors to the show, including a child, were invited to touch a nude man. Critics accused La Bête of encouraging sexual interest toward children, or pedophilia. Some protesters waved a Brazilian flag and shouted, "No, no, not our children." And the conservative Brazil Free Movement argued on its Facebook page that left-wing artists have gone too far. The other disputed art exhibit is in the southern city of Porto Alegre. It was from the Queer Museo, but shown by Santander Bank's Cultural Center. The show explores different types of sexuality. Some parts of the show are explicit. The Santander Cultural Center shut the show early, but there was talk that it would be reopened in Rio de Janeiro. However, the mayor of Rio de Janeiro said in a Facebook video that his city did not want the show. He said it assisted pedophilia. Sao Paulo's mayor also made a video saying both disputed art exhibits are bad. In the end, the Santander Cultural Center closed the exhibit. But it said in a statement that refusing to have uncomfortable discussions is the same as hiding from society. Then the state prosecutor's office asked that the exhibit be reopened. He compared the cancellation to Nazi Germany's ban on degenerate art. There is also a fight over the play in which Jesus is portrayed as a transgender woman who tells biblical stories of accepting others. The Gospel According to Jesus, Queen of Heaven, has been performed more than 60 times during a tour of Brazil. Conservatives have called it offensive to Christians and asked the courts to ban its performances. One petition compared the play to the events in ancient Rome, in which Christians were eaten by wild animals for entertainment. One judge ordered the performance to stop, calling it disrespectful, aggressive, and in bad taste. But another court ruled the play could continue. Omar Encarnacion is a professor of political studies at Baird College in Annandale-on-Hudson, New York. He studies gay and transgender rights movements. Encarnacion said that since becoming independent, Brazil has never had an official anti-gay law. Many people, including the gay community, believe it to be a very tolerant nation, he said. Still, he adds, as with so many social issues in Brazil, there is some confusion. Sao Paulo hosts the largest gay pride parade in the world. But Brazil also has some of Latin America's highest rates of violence against gay and transgender people. Renata Carvalho is the actress in the play The Gospel According to Jesus. She says Brazilians like to hide ugly things. This just sheds light on what people think, she said. I think it's excellent that the masks are falling. Liberal activists have struggled to make Brazil a more open place for gays and women. They had some success during the left-leaning Workers' Party governments that led the country between 2003 and 2016. I'm Susan Shand.
American Tim Frericks remembers visiting the world-famous Grand Canyon as a child. He recalls looking up from the very bottom of the Grand Canyon at the huge walls of rock hundreds of meters above his head. At the time, Frericks was not excited about the long walk back to the top, and he never imagined he would one day run up the trail along the side of the canyon's walls. Frericks had that childhood memory after he ran from the canyon's north rim to the south rim. He finished the 34-kilometer rim-to-rim run with what is called the fastest known time, or FKT. There was no prize, only the unofficial record for the fastest race time. This kind of award has become a goal for athletes in all kinds of activities on trails, mountains, and mountain cliffs.
Endurance events have captured the imagination of an increasing number of trail runners, climbers, and mountaineers. Social and traditional media have helped create attention for these men and women. In the past, the competitors may not have been well known, but now they can earn money from company sponsorships. The Associated Press reports that Frericks Run, completed in under 2 hours and 40 minutes, was one of several notable records set in October. Two rock climbers made history at Yosemite National Park in California. They set a speed record for climbing up the huge wall of El Capitan in under 2 hours 20 minutes. Normally, this climb takes experienced climbers 3 days. Sean Bearden is a trail runner and a physiology professor at Idaho State University. He says endurance events have been influenced by a number of things. They include the development of lighter equipment, growing interest in long-distance running, and the ability of people to follow athletes' progress online. Some people are refusing to wait for traditional races and compete whenever they want. The FKT stuff is a cool dynamic, said Tim Frericks. You're out there alone a lot of the time. There isn't much publicity. It feels more pure.
There is a long history of people setting out to set speed and distance records. For years, sailors have attempted to set records for sailing around the world. Swimmers have successfully crossed the English Channel since 1875. And now, simply climbing to the top of Mount Everest, the world's tallest mountain, is not enough. Some climbers want to see if they can be the fastest at reaching the top. I think it's a natural human tendency to keep pushing back the human boundaries of what's perceived to be possible, like trying to set a world record, said Peter Bachwin, a Colorado native. Bachwin, a trail runner, created a website for listing fastest times. Runs and climbs that once took months, weeks, and days are now being completed in only weeks, days, and hours. As one of the few people keeping unofficial records, Bachwin is now seen as a judge of whether a claim is true. In the past, people self-reported their successes on the honor system. Now, modern technology can prove if the claims are true using global positioning system records, digital photographs, and social media posts. In October, Americans Brad Gobright and Jim Reynolds broke the speed record for climbing up El Capitan. They climbed the 884-meter vertical wall in 2 hours and 19 minutes. I'm Phil Dierking.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
Apple's well-publicized iPhone X finally went on sale in pre-orders last week. The device will be available in Apple stores this Friday, November 3rd. With a starting price of $999, the iPhone X has the highest price of any iPhone ever offered. Yet Apple said demand for its latest smartphone has so far been off the charts. One of the most talked about features of the iPhone X is the new front and back facing cameras. Apple says its true depth technology greatly improves performance for photographs and video. The camera is also trained to recognize faces and expressions. The company says this gives users power to open up the phone just by looking at it. The new Face ID recognition system replaces the Touch ID on other Apple devices that used a fingerprint to unlock the phone. Other smartphones, including the latest Samsung Galaxy models, also use facial and eye recognition technology to start up the devices. But Apple says its Face ID system operates differently. It works by projecting more than 30,000 dots on the face of users to create a kind of map. An infrared camera then reads these marks to create an image that can be confirmed as having the same appearance. Apple says the system is also designed to continually learn. Each time the face is used to unlock the phone, it is supposed to note any changes, such as facial hair or the person getting older. The system can then remember the changes to keep recognizing the person over time. The company claims its facial recognition is even secure enough to process payments through its Apple Pay service. Many reviews of the iPhone X have been published recently. Some of them included tests of the Face ID system. Reviewers reported successful tests in which the phone recognized the face in different situations and unlocked the device. But most reviewers also said the feature did not work perfectly all the time. One fairly common failure was that the Face ID sometimes did not unlock the iPhone X if the user wore a certain kind of sunglasses. Not surprisingly, wearing any kind of disguise, even one covering just part of the face, caused Face ID to fail. It was found to work correctly when the user was wearing headphones or a hat. The Associated Press's Anik Jasdanen reported that Face ID also worked in most bright sunlight, although not every time. It also worked in the dark, thanks to the use of infrared sensors rather than just the standard camera, Jasdanen wrote. That's important when you wake up in the middle of the night. Several attempts were made to trick Face ID into unlocking the phone with a photo of a person instead of a real face. The iPhone X was able to pass these tests by knowing the difference between a photo and a face. Wall Street Journal reporter Joanna Stern tried something a little different. She went to a mask maker and asked for a recreation of her face to see if the iPhone X would be fooled. It was not. Face ID knew it was somebody's face, but it wasn't duped into thinking it was me, she wrote. However, Stern carried out another test involving 8-year-old identical triplets. In this case, the phone was tricked. After just one of the boys registered his face, his two brothers were happily able to unlock the phone. Apple has admitted that Face ID could fail when used with young people who look very much alike. The company says the phone can also be fooled by faces of children under 13 years old. Wired magazine's David Pierce noted that Face ID does not seem to recognize a face from all positions. My phone's about an arm's length away on my desk, and I have to lean in and stare every time I want it to turn on, he wrote. This can make it impossible for a user to quickly and quietly unlock a phone without being seen by others. This is one reason some reviewers suggested Apple could have kept the fingerprint unlocking system on the latest iPhones. But Pierce found a favorite part of the Face ID was one of its privacy tools. When someone held the phone, it hid any messages until the device could confirm the user's face. Apple says its research shows there is only a 1 in a million chance of another person being able to unlock someone else's iPhone X with Face ID. The company has promised the system will become the new gold standard for all facial recognition. I'm Brian Lynn.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.